Welcome back to Deep Thoughts Radio, ladies and gentlemen. It's kind of a weird day, so I'm in my weird location again. It's a little windy, rained a lot yesterday, and so now it's gorgeous, real clouds with tones of gray in them because they're not made of aluminum dust. It's actually quite Midwestern today. So the next episode you're going to see is going to be about Jack Parsons Laboratory, otherwise known as JPL. And if you think it goes by a different name, then stick around for that next episode. But this one is about something that we've all felt, but I think that we haven't actually thought it through properly to make it take effect. Here we are sitting on top of an amazing invention called the internet. The internet was really created in the early 60s. It was formally handed over to the institutions of the world in, 69? Which is why there's this big date around 1969 that we all use inside the computer programming part of day capturing and what have you. But they prophesized that this would happen, and it does. It did happen, excuse me. It does exist. Now, but what we have done is we have allowed these old institutions who normally report on what's going on in the world to continue to exist when they were only created because we didn't have the internet. Now, some people who are very, very asleep, they might say, but, you know, there's journalism and there's rules and all this other stuff. You need to refer them over to Project Mockingbird, where all press has been purchased. 100%. Around the world. You get your feed, or they get their feed, from Reuters or AP, same organization, by the way. Reuters founded by the Rothschilds in the 1850s. Reuters bought AP, I think, in 2004. So it's all one group. Hedge fund managers in Wall Street have Reuters, you know, news machines, terminals that give them the data the second it comes in, telling them what reality is. If a bomb goes off, they tell you who set that bomb off and what we are supposed to do as a result of that action. A bias, a subjective bias constantly introduced to all things that either really occurred or didn't occur or might have occurred a little bit and are being spun a particular way. Our first goal in this game is to defund them by never, ever, ever visiting them again. Not through a television set, not through a telephone app, and not through your computer browsers. Never, ever touch the domains. I mean, I'm pretty disciplined, but I don't have people in my house that want to see that stuff. But taking the router to your home and getting in there, maybe not the one you got from the phone company, but daisy chain one in there, that you can keep programmed all the time, so if they have to replace your modem, you don't lose all your work. But block all the domains. Block them entirely. It'll have a hell of an effect on your phone. It'll be amazing. We have to completely and utterly defund them by never visiting them again. If you're so inclined, maybe even say, write their biggest advertisers, organize a campaign, and say, look, if your ads show up on this platform ever again, we're not going to have anything to do with you. But I'll tell you what I will do. If your ad shows up on Gab, Minds.com, whatever, totally love you. But you can't do both. Take your pick. Now, you technically would have to have someone go in there to look. We have to cut them off. And then we also have to keep up with making sure that anyone who brings you information from those resources are also notified that you won't be accepting that information from them if that's where it's coming from, lest you cut them off. You say, I'm just going to have to block your phone, have to block your text messages, I'm going to have to unfriend your account, block your account if you ever cut and paste this trash to me. Now, if you want to take a screenshot because someone reported something wrong or incorrect, it's some wild, hey, the inauguration went out in Europe, 7 to 8 hours before it actually happened here in the United States. Sure, whatever. But don't send me the domain. Not giving them any money, not giving them any traffic. So what's the alternative? You've already been told the alternative tagline, which is, you are the news. Now, that doesn't necessarily solve any of the previous problems. But let me give you an invention idea I had, which I will not be executing, so feel free. There's something called Yelp. Yelp is where a restaurant gets reviewed. All the employees can go up and put 5 stars. All the best friends and family members can go up and put 5 stars. So they can easily get their restaurant rated really high. My idea was to use a friends and family technique where you have a Yelp, but you only hear the reviews from people that you trust and people that you know have similar palates than you do. Why do that? Well, it cuts out all the Chicon artificial reviews that happen in the Apple store or the Android store or Yelp. You can just pay them to put a bunch of crap on your product and Steam. So it cuts it down. So imagine that we had a news network created by the people for the people, using some sort of blockchain platform, which could be Gab, could be Minds, could be, I don't know if 107daily.com, one, will survive, but two, if it's blockchain or not. Blockchain is the best way to go. Gab, I believe, is already set up, and Minds is definitely set up that way. So we use these platforms, so we don't have to build our own array. Plus, it brings them business. And we form a network of people that we know, just like LinkedIn does, to say, here comes a piece of information. Every time a piece of information comes in, there's a degree of which establishes how far you are away from the source reporting that particular piece of news. So you and I are buddies. I mean, we are acquaintances at minimum. We've met each other face to face. You can look back at 5.5 years of what I've been doing, determine whether or not you trust me or not. But you mark me down as a link. So we're linked together. We're 1 degree from each other. Then we give each other a star rating. If I've never had any information from you, but you've had a lot from me, maybe I don't give you a star rating just yet. It just says undecided because you're not a reporter yet. For me, you give me some rating between 1 to 10. So now I report some news to you. You judge that piece of news. Whether or not it was true or false, you have maybe a slider or a plus or a minus to determine whether I have reported something true or false. Now, let's say you have a brother-in-law who also wants some information, doesn't have any resources yet. He's 1 degree from you, and I'm 1 degree from you. So I'm 2 degrees from him. This is all level 2 stuff from LinkedIn.com. Each degree you're away, it tells you. It's like Kevin Bacon, man. Now, your brother-in-law could subscribe to me with the qualification that you are trustworthy and you trust me for the time being. I could get hit on the head, do some peyote or something, and really start misleading you guys. And the second I do that, my rating goes down, you decouple from me, and I go into a probationary period until I can explain what the hell I was doing when I was misleading you. That's the system that needs to be created. We really need to do this. We really need to get organized. We also could probably take those platforms and create a submission form which has the anatomy of what we want in a piece of news. Date, time of day, geographical location, headline, description, tags, both tags of individuals, like, hey, Tom Hanks had something weird happen to him at the airport, so, Instagram, Tom Hanks, hashtag Tom Hanks. Then you might have, like, hashtag touching kids. I don't know, I'm just throwing them out there. Don't want to mix anything together, you know, but then that database becomes harvested. Now, here's the thing. You might think, yeah, that's all great, dude, but the bad guys are going to put together fake networks. Liars, they're all attached to liars. Here's how we take care of some of that. So let's just say we build our own little personal network and it starts to get to about 100,000 people globally. Our relatives, our friends that we trust, right? People we went to school with, people we went to war with, our daughters, our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our fathers. So pretty strong network, high integrity rating. I think that it would be best to somehow have family connections be over prioritized, could be prioritized more than friends versus acquaintances. I think those are all important. Hey, I met a guy at a cigar lounge, seemed to be pretty informed. I'm joining his network. He's an acquaintance. I'm putting this out there because no one should, I don't know. I just think that this is so important that we can't hoard this sort of stuff. This hasn't been made. This will change the world. Trust me. Pass this video around. Let's get some people investing in this. But see, the bad guys come in. A scumbag by the name of George Soros comes in this whole thing and pays a corporation, creates a corporation to create a bunch of fake family connections, a bunch of fake connections with fake news and all this other stuff. Now, they're going to prime the pump with a breaking story that only they have the facts on. A bit like that Twilight Zone with Burgess Meredith playing the devil, who not only is the best typesmith and reporter, but he's also a guy that conjures events to occur, of which he then reports on, and he's got the scoop. I think the second story he reported on was the competition's paper burning to the ground, of which he also instigated. So there'll be some really tantalizing stories. They'll blow up a bomb in some place. They'll do something. And they're going to be the only ones that have the drop on the information because they orchestrated it. Here's how we insulate ourselves against this. And there's always going to be an attempt to mess around. But if we do this right, even artificial intelligence could be easily written to clean the swamp out of the system. If we have a human-to-human connection situation where someone has to physically know someone else before the line ever gets validated. So Soros is trying to do his stuff from the backstabbing folks around the world. Well, they're never going to get to you personally. No one's ever walking into your business, into your picnic, and ever saying hi because they couldn't possibly do that. There's too many of us and not enough of them. So they put all this effort into their network and no one cares. No one's listening. Only they are listening. You can't even see their feed because you haven't signed up to it. There's no way for you to see a promoted feed by Gab, right? Or BitChute or whatever. There's no suggestions. If you didn't sign up to see it, you don't see it. You don't even see it when you say, I want to see all the tags on Disneyland or something, and they've got Disneyland articles. You won't see their articles. You cannot be misled because you haven't signed up to be misled. Nothing is coming at you unless you ask it to come at you. But now, there's different levels of reporting the news. So let's say that's pretty tight. And the other one I would like to suggest is that if you establish a friendship with somebody through this network, meaning I know you personally, either virtually, we've been talking over Skype for 2 years or whatever, or Zoom, then I put into the platform, I know Dave. Dave is my moderator. He and I have been chatting for years. And I tell the system, I know Dave for X number of years. Dave gets a notification and he says, yeah, that's actually true. I validate his claim that he knows me. That allows me to connect with Dave. He has to agree to that level of connection. At that point, the system starts to maintain our relationship and our connection based on how much I visit his feed and how much he visits mine. Or if he's just the provider of data, say from Canada, and I'm a provider of data from America, then there's a reason we go back and forth. But it could be that I don't do anything and he does it all, and then I'm a spectator. But if there's ever any interaction between us, it keeps that in the system. It understands. Sorry if there's a little bit of wind in the mic. Shouldn't be terribly bad. But we know that there's journalism of different levels. There's reporting an immediate event. You're downtown, there's been a fire, and you're just happen to be standing in a nightclub across the street, and you want to report the fact that this fire is going on. You're taking pictures, you're taking videos. Our platform could simply be asking a simple list of content that you have to provide to get your story at a minimum date, location, which you can just GPS right off your phone, subject and description, whether it's an emergency or not, maybe even just like the species of news, it's tech news, it's current affairs, it's an alert. So that's the base level of reporting that we would like to have, right? A great foundation across the world. Every single region needs to be validated by its people. So say Dave signs up to me and I'm reporting something in the area. If it's a big enough event, then there should be other people on the platform reporting and confirming, providing other data. At this point, there's an automatic checks and balances to see if there's disinfo in the system because people could be submitting bad photographs, bad videos, and the minute someone misleads someone, they're totally neutralized forever. And boy, let me tell you, there's so many techniques that reverse engineering their IP address to location. They'd have to VPN pretty strong. And there's ways of checking whether or not they're using a VPN. You can just decide whether or not the information is being submitted in a quality technique. So let everybody submit. But imagine you say, this information was submitted under a VPN. So it just immediately, anything that sounds and feels suspicious, it's already suspicious. Someone from China reported what happened in Colorado. Not likely, right? They can't physically be in China and tell me that they were on the ground in China. All that stuff could be easily coded. They could try to spoof IP addresses, but if you GPS net, finding out where that IP address is coming from, generally, if it's not in the vicinity, Yelp won't let you write a review for a restaurant or check into a restaurant. I should say, sorry, it won't let you check into a restaurant unless your IP address is physically near the restaurant. Now, I'm going to be passing this video around myself to individuals who I know will be interested in this and building this, but if this is built 10 different ways to Sunday, it's not a bad thing. May the best man win. Mankind, man. But what other type of reporting do we have to maintain? Now, it used to be that we didn't have instantaneous current news on the ground. So we weren't as satiated all the time as we are today. What did that create? Well, it created the platform for writing articles. Because people are bored to death. Give me the newspaper. Let's sit around. Now you don't need a newspaper anymore. You don't need an article anymore. Articles might simply be a passe thing that baby boomers like, maybe a Gen Xer likes, but I don't think anyone reads an article more than a couple paragraphs before they're out. One, I think the quality of articles that we have access to today is actually pretty bad. But let's say we want to convert a kid in India to be a great journalist to write an article. Now, I know people go off and get degrees in journalism. What is journalism at its most fundamental state? You are going to now do research into something. You're going to get an in-depth view on a particular subject. You need to break things down. It's sort of like writing your thesis in college. You're going to have to pitch to the thesis professors what it is you're going to do your thesis on. They're going to find out if it's boring, if it's original, if it has actually any value after you write it, whether or not it's complex enough to really test the discipline that you're talking about, right? So if you're some chemist and you're, I'm going to do a thing on if is water wet, you know, and they're going to go, don't think so. Well, it's either that or I'm going to create a new rocket fuel that can operate in a complete vacuum. Oh, no, that's interesting. Go for it, you know. I helped create some software once that helps you do your taxes. And before I left the company, I had come up with a thing that was our version of what you would have in DOS applications, which is instead of filling out these tax forms, I asked you very simple questions about your income, based off a bunch of CPA questions, and then would filter that into the forms, which is exactly the way it works online now, and everyone's done it probably 10, 20 times before. Same thing we can do for a journalistic interface is to get out of the individual and teach them by design as they answer the questions on the website, what is it you're reporting? If you're going to do a journalistic article, what is it you're reporting? Who are your sources? The bibliography of what they write is automatically harvested directly below. If they wrote a paragraph about something, to the side there's a little meta field that goes, I got this information from this source. Now, the interesting thing is that if we have a bunch of validated eyewitness news that's being reported constantly, if we have this network of people that are already validated with eyewitness news, imagine being able to cross-link your sources within your own article to say, right here is where I got that source. And then we go through our blockchain news network over to that source, and we can validate it ourselves. Plus, using basic mathematics on the star ratings of all the people that this individual might have referenced to build their article, plus their own reference for anything that isn't cited in the references, we could say this article has about an 8.5 star rating without you even reading it. Integrity by design. Cutting those artificial networks off the map. We no longer need personality news. But the number one thing we have to do is disconnect ourselves from this dependency that we have built up over decades, depending on how old you are. So can you imagine when the official sources report their thing? Because they're going to try to fight it out, right? But they're going to be going bankrupt left and right. But they start reporting stuff, and then our network is already established and validated. And we can immediately start destroying their artificial narratives. I think this could be utterly massive. Now, could you imagine that they pull an event? Because one thing that's going to start happening during this current administration, if someone doesn't nut up and change things in America, we're going to go back to those, how do I use it without kicking off keywords, where they're bad thing actors that are everywhere, and they're going to be wholesale eliminating human beings, trying to take away your devices that can protect you using ammunition. There you go. Because we don't have this in our pocket, because we don't have this platform to easily report things in a structured manner with any level of integrity, because we do not have this friends and family network rating system and this validation system, say, I think I've told the system I know you for 5 years, thus increasing the integrity of force between the two of us, you realize that the bad guys could build a full network full of fake individuals with all this self-validated stuff. But again, if someone says they're from Toledo, Ohio, and they're using a VPN from China, the system automatically detects that over the course of several uses of the account. Because VPNs struggle to give you the same location every single time, we can sniff them out and get rid of them. So you have someone who is like a ditz in your family and goes, okay, I love this person. I'd never met him before, but I totally like them. 10 stars and blah, blah, blah. As soon as that person gets marginalized in terms of, yeah, that's the idiot aunt I've got in my family, or the dumb uncle I've got in my family, and they went off and signed up to George Soros' network, thus creating this little connection between the two of us, then we automatically deprecate their ability to create a connection that you're going to trust. And it could be right out that if I friend you, and you're like, okay, I trust Mark to find other sources that would be very validated because he talks on a regular basis and I can hear his thoughts, hasn't misled me yet, intentionally at least. And so you trust more so. You still, it's not automatic, but you're more willing to trust the new one that's coming up. And see, this whole invention needs to happen on every single platform. It can't be under one platform such that they deplatform that one platform that takes this idea. Then we're back to square one. Everyone who can do this platform should be doing it in their own way. If we can open source the whole platform That's fantastic. So someone could just borrow the platform and launch a node in Spain, launch one in Venezuela, launch one in China, and that way we can start getting it up. If one gets knocked down, it doesn't matter. We can always make it work. But imagine they do those crazy events, and I guarantee you they're just licking their chops. There are people who are alive right now because of the current president of the United States, at least in the mass products eyes. They're going to be dead in 6 months because they're going to try to go after our Second Amendment. This is going to happen. These people are going to die unless someone nuts up in the military and gets this thing reset. But we have to assume that they're completely compromised, that regardless of taking an oath to the Constitution, all these scumbags are willing to get paid off. And if they're not willing to get paid off, then they're the greatest heroes on planet Earth and all of our respective countries. But imagine one of those events happens and there's 100 people in a mall in El Paso, Texas, all pulling out their phones, all sending up videos and audio because the platform exists. Oh, sure, they can beam a little network that will help, you know, block your ability to get on the network or whatever, but you still have your phone that's taking pictures, movies, you're typing everything in so that when you walk out of zone of their kill zone, which apparently on the 6th of January, they had a kill zone for your internet, which is strange because I was able to text friends who were sitting in the bleachers. They're probably standing in the bleachers. But as soon as you walk out of that dead zone, all your stuff goes up to the network. So then we inform ourselves. We don't get the information from a crappy source that the event is even occurring. We inform ourselves this is occurring. Let's just say you're in a particular part of the world, an event occurs, and then we in our network have a ton of alerts that pop up. And if we are connected into that area of the world, which we're going to connect where our world matters. You realize that? If you know people in New York, but you live in California, but you have family in New York or friends in New York, then you're automatically caring about their world. It's designed around your sphere of influences and your friends' sphere of influences. Then we control the narrative. We control what's coming in. Now, it might be, let's just think about the contingencies, okay? It might be a situation where something is coming in so severe, you've only got one friend who saw one thing for a split second. But you want the rest of the information, but you personally do not have contacts in that area to give you more information. Then you can study the network, just like you study LinkedIn. You can study the network and the degrees to see if there's anyone else from the person, the one person that you have, that you could branch out from. Let's say they have a strong 25-year relationship because it's their brother, their uncle, their mother, whatever. You might be able to do a temporary subscription until you validate them for permanent subscription to get the extra information. I mean, I don't know about you, but this sounds so freaking exciting to me. It's crazy because it puts an end to the whole thing. I'm actually going to attempt to get this all the way to the former White House administration, because I think I might have a connection that can help me out with that. But this should be huge. Your relatives that go back to those old organizations because they're old, it won't matter anymore. But now imagine this. Your area is going to be in an elective situation in a year or two or four or whatever. But now, all the votes and all the polls that are coming in from your network of individuals. So now the integrity of your information can potentially go up considerably. I had a design of a separate site that would also be very interesting for this one. Although now that I've studied how disinformation could come in, it all has to be related to the spine of our site is all of the acknowledged relationships that we have with each other. They have to be the most scrutinized connections between each other, meaning when you say this person is your uncle, they need to be alive in the network and confirming that you two have a physical genome relationship with each other or your friends or whatever. You have to be able to provide. This is an acquaintance that I just met. And so it goes low on your integrity. Over time, if you thumb up one of their reports and say, I found this report to be very, very valid, then that acquaintance meter, and really the truth meter of even your relatives or closest friends, keeps going up and up and up and up. That doesn't mean, again, that they can't infiltrate you a little bit. But you should know whether or not you're buying news off someone, meaning you're believing it, of someone you don't even know. That's the problem with Twitter. That's the problem with Facebook. Is as long as some, you know, foreign country, some foreign intelligence posts a pretty booby picture of some girl, there's 90,000 guys that will subscribe to it because they're so hard up because they're watching too much porn at home. Because you're saying I got a chance, right? That's what they think. I don't know if women fall for the hunky guy thing as much as men fall for the other thing. But there's more emotional things I think they could probably trick women with. Don't know. We're all flawed is what I'm saying when it comes to this, because we haven't said that it's important that our friends are really our friends and not just a bunch of random people we met on the internet that look pretty in our feeds. It's okay to have that, of course. I'm not trying to judge anybody. I do that. I got plenty of friends in the music business, and I've met a fraction of them face to face. Had quite a few conversations with them. I'm now getting rid of folks out of my one Facebook account that has any traffic, who've never looked at anything that I've ever posted, never responded to me, never chatted. It's like, hey, don't wish you any ill things. I don't have any judgment on you. It's just obviously we don't have a connection and I don't need the pretty face as a part of my thing, if that were the case. The other thing about blockchaining all the data, which is now just a ubiquitous platform that everybody can use, is that now we can all get copies of the data and it all gets locked away. Whoever wants to process the blockchain of the news network, okay, well, I can have a copy of everything if I've got enough space for it. So something's reported, there's no censorship. The other thing is if there's any news that we deem to be untrue, we all pile into that resource, we kill that article, and it's gone. The other distinction that we might put into any one thing that's reported is we know that we've come up with memes. Memes are a way to get past a lot of the artificial intelligence, although they're getting really good at reading what's in a meme, or at least having a group of human beings tag a meme so it can't be in there. Now, we would never have any problems on ours in terms of censoring that kind of stuff. However, we know that there's a lot of gullible people who can be sent photographs that are completely, you know, photoshopped, and they're not reporting that it's photoshopped, they're reporting that it's true. And everyone else is looking at that data going, that's simply not true. And so you might have to school a few of your family members, friends, to say, okay, this person is literally more gullible. I mean, we could even have a little funny check mark that says, in my opinion, this is gullible. And then they say they have like 50 connections, which would be quite a bit in this network, right? And again, I don't think you need 500 friends in this system. You don't. You just need enough people, a handful of people in every area that you're interested in. Downtown Los Angeles, which would probably take you 50 people just to cover the ground effectively. Miami, New York, Chicago, Dallas, wherever it is, Paris, whatever. And then if everyone piled in and said this particular article was untrue, or they simply have to, when they submit something, they're submitting a piece of information and they have to say, this isn't me. This isn't a photograph out of my telephone at the event. This is a meme that I put up there. Could be earmarked as pure entertainment. Could be earmarked as someone saying, is this true? I found this image on the internet of a particular guy who might be a hunter. And I don't know if this stuff in the bedroom or this hotel room is actually true or false. Let me know what you think. And so they post it in there and it's quarantined away from you unless you want to see things that might be true or might be false. Then you get to put your opinion in, but your opinion could also be with a little bit of information. We could be our own little Snopes to say, well, you know, I can see right there, it looks like Photoshop right there. And oh, by the way, that picture of him actually comes from this photo over here. And then we journalism balance our own stuff. You see, the information that you're getting that's creating this matrix that we call history around us, it's coming in as truth from those sources that aren't truth. It's coming in validated, even though it shouldn't be validated. That's the problem. We're also infatuated with individuals. The anchors, they get popular. If an anchor is so popular that you're really dialing in because you like that individual, I can't tell you how many people I've had in a room that said, I love Anderson Cooper. And then I show them the Vanderbilt pool where all those crazy Tony Podesta art with the kids are being tied up and tortured happened in the Vanderbilt pool, which is the same house that Anderson Cooper grew up in. Well, then they go, oh my God, really? I'm like, yeah. Stop worshiping these agents of evil, these mockingbird press people who think because they've been told they're special, you're not part of the peasant race, so we must punish the peasants with disinformation and they have to be told what's going on. The first person who thinks that they have the authority to tell other people what's going on in the world and how they should live their life are usually the biggest morons on planet Earth. So isn't it funny how that works? What makes you an elite? Having a low vibration IQ. And yeah, they may have a tome of the history of the world and say, yeah, well, I know what actually happened in this world and you don't. That doesn't make you more intelligent than anybody. If anything, you need a cheat sheet to figure out how the world worked. We're deducing it more accurately from our end because everything's got to spin, right? This isn't really a super engineering feat. This is more 98% brilliant design than it is brilliant engineering. It's going to take some work, but even just with a basic connection pool system where I can validate you to me and track this and give a star rating and then immediately launch an interface where you can at least report immediate news that's going on in your area, meaning you're standing in Ontario, Canada, and all of a sudden the Chinese CCP starts occupying your street with troops, you can immediately take your phone out the window and go ting, 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 and submit a whole gallery to the site with the time of day, location, what you're seeing. Make sure, you know, that we actually help the person submitting things to understand, you know, please don't submit any subjective views into the article, meaning don't tell us something's happening that you just speculate is happening. Or maybe there's a description field that says, describe exactly what you're seeing. Don't add anything else. Tab down the next description field, you know, 5,000 characters a pop. Give us your opinion of what you think is happening. That way, we can look at an article and determine what part we're sure of, that the author is sure of, and what the part that they think could be happening. And that way, they're not on the hook for misleading us because they simply said, this is what I think is occurring. It seems like this is what's occurring. It divides up the data perfectly the way the brain wants to modify or ingest the data in the first place. Now, in terms of the super produced pieces of video that we're so accustomed to, we're addicted to beautifully produced documentaries and that kind of thing, I think there's a place for that within the system. But imagine we didn't have any technology whatsoever. We didn't have any computers and we didn't have any video devices of any kind. And we're back to sort of the year 1800. The only thing we'd have at that point is maybe a printing press. But let's say we don't even have that. We would be living by word of mouth between us and we'd be using the integrity models as this site has been designed in this episode to determine who is telling the truth and who isn't. Like if I walked home in 1800 and I said, Mom, Dad, the British troops appeared on the coast of Maryland or whatever, and they seemed pretty pissed off, and they seemed to be like fully loaded and walking in this direction in a single file. It would be my integrity with my parents, my friends, that would either make them go, oh my God, let's get out of here, or let's go get our muskets and get going. Let's have a nice Minuteman fight. Or I'm a boy who called Wolf. And it's like, yeah, whatever. Didn't you see some flying light in the sky yesterday, the chariot that landed and gave you a ham sandwich? We've been wanting to fix this problem for a very, very long time, haven't we? But again, we haven't been organized with our successes. We've had successes. Everyone's had a friend who's on the ground. Currently, we're waiting for the Insurrection Act to be activated. But nothing's happening, apparently, you know, visually, when you look at the world. However, a lot of us have folks that have been reactivated into the military. We're getting all kinds of, like, first degree, if not second degree, testimonies. People here in Orange County, California, walking into cigar lounges going, yeah, I just got back from Gitmo. And then we say, well, we've heard it's been retrofitted with a bunch of new cells. And we've had two different guys in two different locations get the same exact story. And the dudes, both of them said, yeah, how do you know that we did that? And then we explain, you know, that movement that told us that stuff, showed us the satellite photographs. They're like, wow, yeah, I've been too busy to even know that that was going around the net. And then we asked both of them, hey, well who's going to be in that place? And they give us slightly different answers, but it means exactly the same thing. One guy told a best friend of mine, first degree best friend of mine, he said royalty. Now, it could be celebrity royalty, could be royalty, could be CEO financial royalty. Who knows what that answer means? But they're already training troops in Gitmo not to be shocked about the people that are going to be coming into that place. That's a fact. Whether or not they actually have the balls to pull it off, I'm going to breathe deeply until they do. But we have to have profound inventions sometimes to shake into us new paradigms and shake out of us the old paradigms. But what I want you to do when you listen to this episode is just think about how you've ever survived without electronic data. Even in this modern age, let's say you're 25 years old or what have you, you still have a network of buddies in your local area. You don't read mass products on the internet to find out whether or not your friend is coming into town or whether or not two people got married or two people got divorced or two people went on a date. You're using your friend network to figure this out. And immediately, the integrity of your friends and their past travels with you determine whether or not you're going to give it any credibility. So all we're doing is we're industrializing this process. And again, with a little bit of clever due diligence with IP addresses, GPS coordinates, we can start filtering out all this fake stuff because no one from a foreign country could report that they're in your area. I mean, they could actually hack a phone and maybe get some bad data in there. Whatever. They could actually put a phone technically in a region of the world and jack into that phone remotely and then submit it from, say, Manhattan, where it's like, oh, we need the phone in that street to be activated so we can report false news. Well, as soon as they do it, as soon as they report something bad, one, nobody knows that individual in the real world, so there's no network for them to gain any credibility. If they try to build a big network, and then they have a couple little backstabbers, here's the funny thing. How about you have to have physically verified the face of a particular individual if you want to come from a complete outside source. I need to be able to meet you at a coffee shop and snap your face in my camera. And has the face recognition, the one that you've submitted online. But once I got your face, then I put that in your file. You can't edit it. And then 10 other people snap your face. And they put it in that file saying, I've met this person in four or five locations in Manhattan. Okay, go ahead and report some bad news. Go ahead and manipulate a million people in your local area to believe something that's wrong. And now we got your face. Good luck being a fugitive for the rest of your life. Absolute integrity at its best. Governed by the people. We could turn the whole world into a village-sized organization by using this technique. And, you know, there's all kinds of techniques, although they have to be governed very carefully. But, you know, there's a lot of places where they want your ID to prove that you are who you are. Usually they'll want a driver's license, passport, or something like that with your face on it. All the addresses confirmed. They've also got subscriptions to those services where they look up in public records whether or not you actually are a real person. And, you know, if I submit mine, I've had to do it recently for some 3D modeling outlets, which I'm going to start selling some of my stuff. They can verify I really exist. They look at public records. That's me. We're off to the races. But now imagine that the validation of being sort of a public figure, which we don't really want any of those, is that they've submitted their passport and driver's license. Now, you know that those can be forged pretty easily, especially in Photoshop. They're hijacking someone's identity in a particular part of the world. So the network that hosts this service gives you a little check mark that says, okay, we've received some identification that seems to check out. However, no one from the totally trusted network has ever seen them face to face and snapped their photograph and submitted that back into the system to say, are these the same people? It could even be you submit your passport and your driver's license. They verify with some database lookup that you really do exist at that location. They're not sure if you look like that because that's never in any public system I think you have access to. But yeah, they scrape your faces off, both IDs, subtract, delete the rest of the photograph, never save your private data ever to be stolen in any way, shape, or form. And then someone says, I'm going to go to from the ones that you know and you trust. They're saying, I'm willing to meet this person at a coffee shop. Pow, we hit your face, we submit that photograph, and now we have the two from your ID that have been verified by the website, and now here comes all the third-person photographs of you that you could just look and go, okay, there's 10 photographs of this person. That really is a real person. And if they've been met 10 times, 20 times, 50 times, 100 times by average people within, say, Orange County, Newport, California, well, they must live there. They're really spending a lot of money to validate themselves. But here's the thing. They're only as good as their data. So say you're totally validated. You got a blue check mark from the new system. But you start misleading people. You're just either a bad reporter or you're one of George Soros' little agents. You get a slam rating. And then we lock your profile with your photographs, all available for people to see. We subtract your ID photos. I mean, you're going to agree to some terms of service to have those visible. But now we just have your photograph as a person whose integrity is very low. There's no law you broke. No one's going to put you in jail or anything. But you'll get a scarlet letter. You'll become an Aesop fable with a boy who called Wolf. I'm sure you guys have a ton of ideas to add to this to put the network together. What I'm going to do after the episode is I'm going to run inside. I'm going to go ahead and get this all uploaded and editing. I'm going to do some work while I do the editing. We'll get it out the door. I'm actually going to make a few phone calls right after I get this episode done. So I know some folks that might be interested in helping to put this together. Apparently, I have a second degree relationship with the CEO of Minds.com. So I'm going to see if there might be some interest with that. Now, I'm more interested in any of your observations, if you're a techie, that you think this system wouldn't work due to a particular oversight on my part. I do believe that if there is an oversight, that we can fill that hole in the dike, if you will, in a way that we'll be okay in the end. But I think within 12 months, if we get this product launched, even in its most infant form, and say 6 months, those organizations that we hate so much will be out of business in 6 months after our launch. So imagine that. 1 year, they're off the face of the planet. Oh, they'll still exist, but they will be sucking on fumes. Their advertisers will be like, hey, there's no one watching your stuff. We're buying ads at Minds.com. We're buying ads at Gab. We're buying ads at whatever new network that might be hosting this. And again, if we can open source the code such that it's just a platform that you can launch, and maybe individuals at those organizations come up with improvements, but we treat it like Blender 3D. Blender 3D is a free 3D application that if you ever wanted to do special effects in 3D, it's free and it's supported by the entire world. There's a million lessons online and on YouTube, so you can completely become a 3D expert, visual effects expert, composite expert using a free product. It doesn't feel free. It feels like the most expensive product you've ever touched in your life, but it is free and it's always been free. So when someone invents something cool, they can actually put it inside the product. So when it ships, it comes with this new feature because some brainiac in Russia figured out how to do something. And by the way, they then get a job at the Blender Foundation in Amsterdam and poof. So if we keep this pretty open source, the thing is if you're willing to host this information, then advertisers are willing to put ads around your information. Imagine you become a pretty damn good journalist. You're either a live action journalist, meaning you're reporting on exactly what's happening at the time, or you're a real journalist that goes off and does super deep dives on things like Project Veritas. Imagine that. Project Veritas is a good example. They've been pretty much two thumbs up the entire time. So if you wanted to write an article and cite Veritas, but you've never met the dude who runs Veritas, you automatically know, and so does the world, that up to this point, their information has been outstanding. If they slip, we should have, you know, they make a mistake, they get some disinfo in their system, they take an interview with someone who's pretending to be an employee of something that they're not, and they accidentally slip out something bad, then we have to have probably a system where, you know, Veritas will get knocked down in the public eye, if that were to ever occur. I doubt that would ever happen. But at the same time, they need a way to revise their news to say, oh my gosh, we just got had. Super sorry. We are deprecating this article out of existence and apologize 100 times. Now again, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That little theory would be built into the system. But this could actually help all these organizations that are independent and finding out information. Think about all these really cool, you know, channels that have had to leave formal platforms because they got censored. Now they're on other platforms and they want to report the news. So then they already have all these contacts, all these ones that they trust. They upload the infrastructure of their network into the system. Now, of course, there's always, you know, supposedly top secret sources and that kind of stuff. So they're going to struggle. They're going to struggle to put out stuff. Simon Parks is going to struggle. Charlie Ward's going to struggle. You know, Charlie Ward told the whole world that he got the inauguration like 8 hours before it actually happened. Problem, he never published it to prove that he got it beforehand. Never even published a screenshot. Now, supposedly a bunch of other people in Europe confirmed that they also saw it ahead of time. So maybe they're telling the truth. But wouldn't you like to know whether or not he was telling the truth or not? He could put that piece of news directly into this network. It goes full blockchain. He never has to release it on the ones that will censor him. And then we can all have proof because we're watching the inauguration 4 hours before it happened. I personally don't believe that that's true. I don't care what anyone says. Someone would have published it ahead of time on the net, and we all would have had our jaws on the ground that this pre-recorded event was indeed pre-recorded. Anyway, I'm not sure this is a full hour. About 1:10 on my side. Been a lot of noise disruptions, so we might, hopefully after I cut the 10 minutes out. I had a false start, by the way. I forgot to turn the camera on, so I talked for about 2 minutes and the camera stopped. So hopefully I've hit an hour. But I don't think it matters how long this thing is. You got the information. Let's mulch it. I'll be the gatherer of all the data. Feel free to run off with this idea and do your own thing completely. Spend your own money, make this happen, talk to your own buddies on networks and get this thing going. But if you aren't totally excited, then push stop, rewind the playhead and play it back until you get it, because I think this is gigantic. If you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, please go. It's got everything, video, audio, social media, all new remastered season one on a different channel. We have a store, and we have two ways to contribute to this movement, one on PayPal and one on Patreon. If you go on Patreon, I can get you all the links before anyone else sees them. This one's going to go out immediately, of course. Take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over now.